First off, welcome. It's good to have you guys here. We're talking about the church today. You are the church. Now, we know this. We've talked about this many times. Church is not a building, although often we think of it as a building, but church is a group of people who happen to meet in a building. And that's who you are. You're the church. And New Danville has been blessed by God over the last few years. We've grown. We have people that meet us here on Sunday mornings. We do things during the week. We even have people that listen to us online. In fact, I'm going to give a shout out to Tim Hearn. Tim works most weekends and can't be here, but he listens to us online during the week. So, Tim, I hope you didn't just spill your coffee when you heard your name on the message, but just glad to have you here. The book of Acts was written by Luke, Dr. Luke. He also wrote the book of Luke. That was his first book, and then he did a follow-up. And this is what he says. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. That was the book of Luke that he wrote. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Now, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" In other words, they were still looking for that conqueror, right? The guy who's going to get rid of the Romans and take over this earthly kingdom. And he replied, and he said, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now that's how the book of Acts starts off. Jesus, once again, instructing his apostles after he had died and been resurrected. It's the start of the church, because that's how God's ministry continues today. It's through the church. Jesus was here for a time. Right? In the Old Testament, we had the prophets who taught about the coming of God again, of how to be connected with God. Then we had Jesus, the Messiah, who finally came and instructed for 3 years. But then something else had to take place because Jesus was no longer physically here. And that's what the church is all about. So we see the birth of the church here. So I'm going to give you some of the pillars of what the church is built on, the foundation of the church. And then I want to talk to you about something special at the end of the message. First, the church is built on the event of Jesus' resurrection. Everything about the church comes from the fact that Jesus resurrected from the dead. In other words, we build our testimony to the rest of the world on the fact that Jesus conquered death. You see, Jesus did die for our sins, and that's part of it. He died to pay for our sins so that we didn't have to pay for them, so that we might live. But that wasn't really conquering sin, that was submitting to sin when he died. When he rose, he conquered sin. Because the wages of sin in Romans is death. When you sin, you are chained to death. That's the penalty. Well, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? Well, no, because the God we know, our God is a God of perfection, he's a God of goodness. There is no evil in him. He lives in a state of perpetual goodness, of perpetual perfection. So that evil cannot continue to exist with God. So the penalty of sin is death. There has to be a penalty. We've talked about that before. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So Jesus, not just dying, but being resurrected from the grave, is the foundation that we stand on. The fact that Jesus was who he said he was, and he conquered the grave, not only did he die for you, but he rose again for you, that he might reign forever in an everlasting kingdom that you will be a part of. That is the first pillar of the church. There are many proofs of Jesus' resurrection. I know there are many skeptics. People are skeptical. You know, did he really rise from the dead? Well, you know, the Bible, it talks about this, especially in Acts, the number of times Jesus showed up again to his apostles, that there were many witnesses. Paul says there was one time where there were as many as 500 people there who saw Jesus alive and well after his death. It's a deep topic, some of the proofs of Jesus' being risen from the dead. I can't cover it all today, but if you ever want to have that conversation, buy me lunch. No, maybe I'll buy you lunch. And let's talk a little bit more about the science behind it and the proofs of it. But believe me, I believe Jesus died and rose again as much as I believe you're sitting here today. God proves it. Now, here's the trick to that, and we've said this before, it's kind of one of our mottos around here at New Danville, is most of man says, well, prove it, and I'll believe it. God says, believe it, and I'll prove it. Take the step of faith, and he'll show you. So that's the first pillar of the church, the fact that Jesus was resurrected. He walked into locked rooms that the disciples were in. He showed the wounds from his crucifixion. He ate and drank with them. He talked with many of them over this 40-day period to show he was alive. The second pillar of the church is that it was built on the teachings of the apostles. See, when Jesus ascended and went to heaven, there was still a lot to know, a lot to figure out. How does the church function? How do we do this? And a lot of that teaching comes from the apostles. Right, most of the writing of the New Testament is from the apostles or people who knew the apostles, like Luke. They wrote all this so we would know how the church functioned, how we live with a risen Savior. And there are proofs in there that Jesus handed off his ministry to the apostles. That's why he taught them for 3 years. Now, we see him interacting with the public. We see him doing miracles. But his real work was to work with these 12 men to get them ready to move the church into the next age so that the word of Jesus might be spread to everybody. In Matthew chapter 5, it says now, this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, at the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you are the light of the world. Right? A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Right? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bowl. They stick it on a candle holder so that everyone in the house can see it. Right? And then he finishes by saying, let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What that's saying was, Jesus was here for a time, but after he went on, the apostles took over in the church and guided that church, and we continue to do that to this day. We are the light of the world because we have the teachings of Jesus and we have the teachings of the apostles. So as we read our Bible, it's not just about what Jesus said. I had somebody tell me that once. He said, well, I just believe in the things Jesus said in the Bible. I don't know that I'm going to follow the rest of it. Well, you can't do that. Because that's not the whole story. Jesus empowered his apostles to move the church forward, to show them how to work together as a body to reach the rest of the world. And let's be honest, it was the apostles and the later church that put together all the recordings of Jesus into the Bible. So if you don't trust them, then you can't trust what Jesus said because they're the ones that recorded it. It's a weird way of looking at things. So we accept not only the teachings of Jesus, but of the apostles that went on after him. They continued the church and got it moving along. The third pillar is the pillar of the Holy Spirit. In this passage, Jesus says, hey, hang out in Jerusalem because the gift of the Holy Spirit is coming. Because Jesus knew that the apostles would need the power of the Holy Spirit to move forward. Remember, up to this time, the apostles were kind of a hit or miss group. Sometimes they were great with Jesus, and then other times they were not doing the right things. Right? In fact, Peter, remember, he denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus was on trial, and people went, hey, you knew Jesus. Peter was like, oh, I don't know who you're talking about. So up to this point, they weren't really knocking it out of the park, if you know what I mean. But then suddenly the Holy Spirit comes on them, and you find in the next chapter that Peter starts to preach, now with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says that day, 3,000 people got saved and entered the church because of that one sermon from Peter. He was almost as good a speaker as I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, just saying. Yeah. I got one fan. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. But that's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes on. The apostles are empowered. They start speaking in all different languages. So all of a sudden, everyone there, because remember they're in Jerusalem, and the Passover had just happened, you know, a few weeks ago, so there's still a lot of folks in town. The population has swelled. They're from all over. They speak all different kinds of languages. You know, Greek is the main language, but there's all these other ones, Aramaic and et cetera. And all of a sudden, the apostles are speaking, and everyone can understand them. And people accuse him of being drunk. Hey, they must be drunk. And Peter gets up and says, are you kidding? It's still midday. Why would they be drunk? And he gives this sermon and 3,000 people enter the church. Now, how does that happen from a guy who a couple weeks earlier denied that he even knew Jesus? It happens because the Holy Spirit is active and powerful. And here's the really cool thing. The Bible says anyone who accepts Jesus receives the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got that power, too, to do things you never could do before. Now, it doesn't mean everyone's going to do miracles, right? Paul raised somebody from the dead. The apostles did speak in other languages to other people. That might not necessarily happen for you. There are some theologians that believe that that was just a special time that gave authority to the apostles, approved to people that, yes, they were to lead the church forward. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit's still active, and I think he does still give gifts, and he does still work miracles. But the real miracle is this, the fact that you can go out and tell people about Jesus and have an impact in the world, despite the fact that you're a messed up group of people, right? That you're following a messed up pastor. Let's call it what it is, God, you know. Yeah. And yet God uses us. God uses weak, broken vessels, right? Imperfect people carrying a perfect message. That's the real miracle here. And that works through the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is with you. If you've accepted Christ, you've got the Spirit in you. Don't ever doubt what you can do, because it's amazing how God can work through you. Even in your mistakes, God can use them for his will. Now, I'm not saying make mistakes on purpose. We're not to be a sinful people. We're rising to something better. But in the midst of that struggle, we can impact people. In fact, I think there are times where when we struggle, we're a better example than when we're not struggling. Because there are times where I have friends, they look at me and go, wow, Robert, you're not perfect, and you've got a lot of issues going on, and yet you're still following God. Yes, because I'm working towards it. And I think people can relate to that. I hope anyone that comes into this church, they don't come in intimidated, going, wow, there's all these perfect people sitting here. If you're thinking that, come talk to me. I'll tell you some stories, you know? We're all struggling. You know, we all have battles we face. But the difference is we're still chasing after Christ, right? We're still trying to improve each day. And let me tell you, that speaks volumes to the world. It does. So we're built on the resurrection. We are built on the apostles' teaching. We're built on the Holy Spirit. And the last one is we're built on the great mission or the great commission, right? It's commission with Christ. Because what did it say at the end of the passage there? That you'll be my witnesses, right? It said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After the apostles received the Holy Spirit, they became the witnesses, and the church grew. Even in persecution, because the church started to get persecuted, wasn't long after this, well, in fact, right away, they were persecuted by all different people. But if you move forward a couple decades to Nero and Rome, 64 AD and the burning of Rome, and the persecution became even greater, and Christians were chased out. You know what the cool thing about that was? It meant they went places. And the church spread, right? Everywhere they went, they told people about Jesus. So even in the persecution, even when they had to leave and go somewhere else, the neat thing about that was the church went somewhere else. And here we are today with Christianity just about all over the world. It's a wonderful thing. So even in the hard times, God's word goes forward. And we're to be missionaries in the midst of that. Now, we've taken that a little bit literally here at New Danville when we look at our missions, because we do support missionaries. So we broke it down this way. We looked at Acts 1:8, and we saw Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We look at Jerusalem as the local mission, right? Because that's where they were. They were in Jerusalem. There's Jerusalem calling now. So right in our own area, we are witnesses. We work with the Strawberry House, where guys are coming back off opioid addictions, et cetera. They're right in our neighborhood. We want to work with them. We're missionaries to that. We're also missionaries just here in our community. Some of you have seen the train display over here. The guy's been working hard on it. You got to go look. They keep adding to the buildings and stuff. It's really neat. It's a work in progress. You may not know this, but that's New Danville in the 1950s. They've taken pictures, from the 1950s of the church and other buildings, and they're recreating it the way it was in the 50s. How neat is that? They're crazy. They are. Don, you're crazy. I'm just saying. Go look. He built a little house. It's even got a little porch railing. I don't even know how you can see it. But the idea is I'm eventually going to put a sign up there and say, here's your local missions field. This is where we live. This is where we're planted. Let's reach people here. Let's do that. So Jerusalem is the local mission field. We work locally. Judea would have been regional. And we work across the region. We work with MCC, Mennonite Central Committee. We're going to go do this day where we pack things that go all over the place around the world. We work within our region. Samaria would be national, a national area. We work across our nation. We work with MDS, Mennonite Disaster Services. Many people, my wife included, have gone on trips with MDS to work with disaster relief, whether it's from a hurricane, a flood, fire damage, whatever. They go and help people where they can, building houses even when FEMA and the government leaves. MDS is still there working on houses. I think to this day, they're still working on houses from Hurricane Katrina. At least they were up until last year. It's amazing the work being done. So we also work nationally as a church. And then the ends of the earth, of course, means global, and we want to reach people everywhere. We support Jan Heindel, who is in the Czech Republic, in Prague. So she is reaching people there through teaching English, and just integrating with the folks in that town. It's amazing. In the Republic of Czech. It was a shame. She almost couldn't go. It would have been a canceled Czech. But it... Do I have to tell you ahead of time that I'm going to tell a joke just so you, like... I don't know. Okay. Yes, it was a joke. That's what I call those. Figure it out. All right. So in our own way, we're trying to do missions everywhere. Just like it says in Acts chapter 1:8. So our philosophy on missions comes from Acts 1:8. The church is built on the mission of teaching about Jesus Christ. Otherwise, what else would we do? Sit in our rooms just waiting for Jesus to come back? No, we've got something to do. Let's start spreading the word. Now, with that in mind, I want to tell you about something that's come up that's been kind of interesting, and I'll close with this story, but you need to know about this. You may have noticed in your bulletin over the last few weeks, it says, pray for New Providence Mennonite Church, because we're looking at ways to help there. Let me tell you what's going on. New Providence Mennonite is very similar to what New Danville was a few years ago when we were in a bit of a decline trying to figure out where we go next. New Providence is in that same boat. They're looking to see if they are viable enough to stay open as a church. Renee's written a very eloquent article about it. You'll see it in our next newsletter. In the midst of all that, the conference office called me one day and said they wanted to talk about New Danville being a church planting kind of church. And I went, oh, that's all I need. Okay, you know, we got enough going. We just found our own footing to where people are coming into the church. But I went to the meeting, and they said, you know, well, we want to talk about this. And I thought, I'm going to take charge of the meeting. I said, look, I get it. You want us to plant a church, but if I was going to do it, I'd try to revitalize another church near us, kind of like New Providence. And they got this big smile on their face. Little did I know, that's what they called me in to talk about, was New Providence. My God, are you involved in this? What's going on? Okay, Susan. New Providence is looking for a new way forward, and they like what you're doing here. So they've asked if we've come alongside. Some have even suggested maybe we become one church with two locations. It's a possibility. We don't know. The leadership team here is trying to figure that out. Do we just come alongside and try to help, or do they literally become a part of who we are? And we have two congregations you can go to. So if you get sick of me one Sunday morning, you can go down there. You know, so yeah. If I get sick of you, maybe I'll tell you, go down there. No, no. The possibilities are endless. I love this. What's that? I could be allergic to some of you. That would explain a lot, let me tell you. So I have a picture here of New Providence. Looks like every other Mennonite church in the area, brick building, cemetery next door. You know the deal, right? It could be our church, right? You walk in. So you go down there, you might not even know you're not here. Who knows? Yeah. Sometimes I'm not sure you're here. The next picture, this is Pastor William and Stacy. Lovely folks. Pastor William is an incredible theologian. He teaches classes for our conference. He's wonderful. Stacy is more like me. She's sort of crazy and only visits this planet occasionally. They've only been there 2 years. The decline of the church really hasn't been because of them. If anything, they have given the people some energy. But they're also looking, how do we move forward? Whether Pastor William will be a part of that picture or not, I don't know. But we're trying to figure some things out. So we have met with them, and we came up with an idea. We thought, let's try something different, because there are some good churches in the Quarryville area, but I think there's always room for more churches. So February 17th, I need you to pray, because we're doing this. The Beaver Valley Brunch. All right, Beaver, they live along Beaver Valley Pike, and they're next to Big Beaver Creek. I don't know if you knew that creek in Quarryville is called Big Beaver Creek. Who knew? So we're calling it the Beaver Valley Brunch, and they're going to have church service with a brunch included. Well, that sounds pretty cool, right? Yeah. Not as good as our chili cook-off, okay? But 10 o'clock, they're going to serve brunch right in their auditorium. They're taking some of the pews out. I admit it, that was my suggestion. And they're putting some tables in. They're going to eat right there and then move right into a service. And we've invited some folks from the community. We haven't made it big yet because we don't know if this is something we can continue or not. This is like a one Sunday experiment. But the funny thing is, I found a group of about 10 people, of friends I have, that don't attend here, but are willing to try that there because they want to do something new. So I already have this core group of people that are going to come out and visit. I've done a little advertising, and a few people in the community are going to come, and we're going to see what's going to happen. Now, what does all this mean? I don't know. I do know this. God has blessed us here. We're growing. Every Sunday, I come out at 10 o'clock, and there's like 10 people in the seats. And then by 10:15, it looks like this. We're crowded. And that's a good thing. But here's what I don't want to happen. There was a time when people didn't come here because there weren't many people in the chairs. I don't want to get to a point where people don't come here because there's too many people in the chairs. We always want to make room for more folks. So whether that means for us that we're going to start a second service at 9 o'clock, I don't know. I don't think we have any plans to build a huge auditorium. That's not our style. We like being family together. That's what I hear from most folks. Like this size. Well, so do we. But it might mean multiple services. Maybe it means working with New Providence and other churches to build a network of churches that we can accommodate people at. We always want more room for people to learn about Christ. I never want to have to say, hey, we don't have any space for you. Let's keep it comfortable. And to be honest, the rule is once a church becomes 80% full, when the seats are 80% full, new people coming in are often turned off by that, because they feel there's not enough room for them, or they have to sit next to somebody they don't know, and you people might have cooties. You know, they might be allergic to you. We just learned that. We have to make sure there's room. Now, I can fit a few more chairs in here, and we have more chairs. There comes a point where we're going to have to decide what is next. I thank God every day that He's blessing us with growth, but we have to decide where do we go from here. So would you just continue to pray about New Providence and what's going on there and what that becomes? I think there's wonderful opportunity here. There is risks, and this takes faith for sure. But let's at least see what God might have in it for us. 6 years from now, or 6 years, 6 months from now, we might find out it doesn't work and the church closes. But I would rather say we tried something than tried nothing. Because I'll tell you, I'm still meeting a lot of folks that don't know Jesus, and they really do need to know Him. Let's close. Father, we're grateful that we could be here. Father, I think maybe I just lied a little bit because I said I'm thankful to you every day for the growth at New Danville. I think sometimes I just take it for granted, and I don't want to do that. So, Lord, thank you for all the new faces and all the new friends you've brought here. Now, actually, thank you for the family you've brought here because that's what we are. And church family is so important in this crazy world. Father, never let us say, well, maybe I'll go this week. Father, we want to be committed to this family and to you. So would you show us, Lord, as you continue to grow this church, what our next steps might be, that we can continue to be effective in reaching people for you? Father, there's always room for somebody else here at New Danville to say we love you and want you to be a part of who we are. So lead us forward, Lord, in a way that pleases you. And we'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.